Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And Happy New Year to all of you. This is the first broadcast of 2008, and we are going to start it off with an attitude of gratitude. We have a very special guest today, M.J. Ryan. Her wonderful book, which is exquisitely designed, beautiful photographs, is something you want to have maybe by your bedside every night just to read a page, if nothing else. Or have it in a special place whenever you get anxious. You want to read it. Her book is Giving Thanks, the Gifts of Gratitude. MJ, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be with you, especially to talk about being thankful.
Absolutely. I couldn't think of a better way to start off a brand new year. Now, I want my listeners to know a little bit about you and your background. You are one of the creators of the New York Times best-selling Random Acts of Kindness series, and you authored The Happiness Makeover, Attitudes of Gratitude, The Power of Patience, Trust in Yourself, The Giving Heart, and 365 Health and Happiness Boosters. I mean, you've been writing and really have a passion for this topic. You've been the life coach columnist for Health Magazine. You've been on all kinds of talk shows. You're a contributing editor to Good Housekeeping. And you also work with different corporations, executives, and entrepreneurs. You like inspiring other writers. It's just a delight having you, because when I think of we're right at the beginning of a new year, this is something that I firmly believe in, that if you can't be grateful for what you have, how in the world are you going to appreciate whatever else comes your way, or even recognize your good when it comes your way? MJ, I'd like to ask you a personal question. How is it that you have decided that this is a medium that you wanted to share with the world? What got you to the point of recognizing how significant gratitude is in your life?
Well, actually, it was an accident.
An accident.
An accident of fate, which is that several years ago, when I was the owner of Canary Press, we had this idea. This was during the Rodney King beatings, and there were, when a woman named Ann Herbert, who had coined the phrase, practice random kindness and senseless acts of beauty. And we thought, wouldn't that be a great book if we collected people's stories of their random acts of kindness? And so we did. And at the back of the book, we wrote, send us your stories. Well, there started at a flood. This is pre-email, so we would get real mail, you know, and the mailman was like Santa Claus coming in with these giant sacks. Entire school districts had their kids write to us about the effects of doing kind acts.
Amazing.
I mean, it was just an amazing phenomena. And I started to recognize that all these people talking about how these kind things that people had done for them years before that had made them so happy and that they were so grateful for. And I decided I wanted to, in my own life, I was about 40, and I was trying to learn how to be happy. And I had gone to lots of therapy, and I knew why I was unhappy, but that wasn't doing me a whole lot of good being actually becoming happy. So I decided to start practicing these random acts of kindness because I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and lo and behold, I got happier. And then I decided, all right, so if these things, which are so incredibly simple and they don't take any time, can really make us happy, what other kinds of qualities can we cultivate that are right in front of our noses? And I thought about, well, if I look at people who are happier than me, besides being nicer, kinder than I am, what else is true about them? Well, they're more grateful than I am. So I started to study and to practice gratitude and to help other people become more grateful, and lo and behold, I got happier then, too. So that really launched me on a whole series of looking at what are the positive qualities we can grow in ourselves to create greater connection with other people and a deeper sense of meaning and really a sense of happiness in the world.
I feel so strongly about this because I know the difference it makes in my life, and I know the difference it's made in other people's lives. And sometimes when I see people locked into what I call their emotional pity pots, it gives me all kinds of mixtures of emotions, because the one part of me wants to be like a stern taskmaster and say, come on, wake up. I want to hit him over the head, you know, with an iron skillet of some kind and go pop, pop, pop. Or maybe like the Puritans did. You had the long rods with a knob on the end to go whack, whack when people would fall asleep in church. You want to go, hey, come on, wake up. You've got so much to be grateful for. Look at life. Look at what's around you. And of course, you can't do that. That would not be very nice. But, you know, you have that side of yourself. And then there's the other side of self where you realize maybe all you have to do is just smile at them, wish them a good day, and let them, because they've got to take care of their stuff. But
When I was writing about happiness, my book, The Happiness Makeover, I did all these book signings, and so many people came, not because they wanted to become happier, but because they wanted me to help them figure out how to make their son happier, their spouse happier, their sister happier. And of course, you can't make anyone else happy. But what you can do is you can, instead of hitting over the head, you can help what the Buddhists call incline the mind. Incline the mind towards happiness by saying, yeah, I'm sure that sounds like it's really hard. And what good things are going on in your life right now? What's one thing you're excited about? What's one thing that you enjoy? So you acknowledge, but then you lead people to think about what else is there. One of the things about gratitude is that I always say it's not an either-or experience. It's not either my life is miserable or it's all wonderful and I'm grateful. It's that everything is there. The full catastrophe. It's just a matter of what you choose to shine the flashlight on. Just like if you're in the backyard in the dark, when you turn on the flashlight, it's showing you certain things, even though other things are there too. So when we're unhappy, when we're pessimistic, when we're fundamentally a glass half empty person, our minds are doing is just noticing everything that's rotten and bad. And those things are true. Things are difficult. There is a lot of suffering in the world and perhaps in your life. And what is it that you can enjoy and appreciate right in this moment? And that's what the practice of gratitude does. It shines on those things that we might otherwise take for granted.
You have a quote by Lao Tzu that I really liked, and it's right in the introduction of your book, and this is how it reads. If you look to others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. Now, many people would read that, and their first assumption would be, well, that just means we're supposed to sit back and do nothing, and gee, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be proactive in life. And that's not what the wisdom of these words is expressing. It's expressing the acknowledgement of being aware of the now, of where you are. It doesn't mean you can't progress. It doesn't mean you can't acquire. It doesn't mean you can't grow. It just means be aware where you are and be grateful for what you've got.
And what is whole and good, no matter what that is. So I really learned, that lesson. My father was dying. He was lying in a hospital bed about 2 weeks away, I think, from death. And he was dying of emphysema, so every breath was a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
He had been a big, strapping 6'2 guy, and he was down to, 120 pounds or something. Couldn't move, bedridden. And he looked like he was suffering so much. I finally just came blurting out of my mouth. I said, Dad, is your life still worth living? And here he looked at me with these giant blue eyes, and he said, I like to read the comics in the newspaper. I like to watch the ball game on TV. Sometimes it's easier to take a breath than others. My life is good.
Amazing.
And it was in that moment I realized that it's not about what we have or don't have. It's not a matter of whether there's something difficult going on. It's about saying yes and when I choose to focus on the things that I do enjoy and that I do appreciate, then I can be as happy, as content as I can be under these circumstances.
Another word that you incorporate, which I think is just a wonderful companion with gratitude, is joy. I don't know how one can feel gratitude and not have that wonderful light of joy inside of them.
Well, here's the interesting thing. When I first was writing about this stuff, I did it all on observing myself and other people and reading great sages from around the world. But since then, there's been an explosion of understanding from both positive psychology and neuroscience as to why these things are true. It turns out that what I discovered about that it does make you happier and, as you said, that it creates joy, it turns out that they now know why that's true, which is that when we think thoughts of gratitude or generosity or hopefulness, we activate the part of our brains that floods our bodies with the feel-good hormones. When we think thoughts of pessimism, negativity, it'll never work out, or anger, we flood our bodies with the stress hormones.
Uh-huh.
So literally, we are bathing our systems night and day, 24/7, with either uppers or downers, based on our thoughts. And the effects are so profound that recently it's been discovered that practicing gratitude, being grateful, adds 7 to 9 years to your life, a bigger difference than exercising or not smoking.
Oh, it's amazing. In fact, epigenetics is something that has been coming to my attention because of materials that I've been getting for review, and quantum science is making this massive shift into the area of wellness, and they're discovering this. Of course, it's been known by a number of individuals for centuries, but especially for the Western mind, it is finally scientifically being proven, if you will, just what you said. You know, you have your uppers and your downers in the body. The body is this phenomenal living machine, and your thought, your mind, your cellular activity, your wellness, your illness, all of this is such a sophisticated, interlocking phenomena, and it's exciting to me.
Well, yes, and I always say, you know, people, you know, first we used to think that our bodies were just, a taxi cab for our minds. And then we thought, well, there's a connection between the two. But the truth is, it's all one thing. We need a word that's not mind, body, spirit, but it's everything, because they can't be divided.
Hmm.
So that the more that we practice these things, the more profound effects we're experiencing in our body, mind, spirit, as a total, because of course they aren't separate. The other thing that you were alluding to, I think, is that, you know, in terms of quantum physics, there is something which we're still not quite understanding how it works in places like the law of attraction and the secret are trying to describe this phenomena that does involve gratitude. But what physicists, at least quantum physicists, think is that everything exists in what they call the implicate, which means not yet formed in matter. So in the future, every possibility exists. And part of what creates the creation of certain things and not others is our thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, that sounds pretty woo-woo, even to me, who've been practicing this for a long time, because we don't know the mechanism all of by which it works, but there's something about that which you pay attention to multiplies.
It is really amazing. It really is. I love one of your stories that you have in this book. It just is delightful to me because it reminds me of how often we will be in a position of judgment about someone, and yet that person may take us on a journey we'd never expect. This is about Donna Markova,
mm-hmm.
and it was about a woman who really pushed her buttons as far as making her appreciate what she had in her life. And would you tell that story?
Well, I think that one of the I'm thinking, when which story you're talking about, because I wrote a lot about Donna. Is it the old lady and noticing the tulips at the gate?
That's right.
It was
during the month of March.
Yes, and so she lived in Vermont, which is very muddy in March, and she's kind of marching down the road, kind of, and this woman's like pulling, this old lady, she comes out and she starts pulling her by the arm and wants her to go in the backyard with her, and she's like, what is this old lady up to? I'm like, I don't know, this is weird, leave me alone. She goes, you must come. And then finally she does go, and her backyard is just filled with crocuses and daffodils, you know, the harbingers of spring. And this woman is just, you know, in her 80s, and she's dancing in this field of flowers. Isn't that fabulous?
Yes, and I love the words that were expressed, because what she said, she had to share her joy.
Yes.
She said, look at all this splendor. Isn't it a miracle? And, you know, you were describing her dancing in the flowers, pulling someone in that she didn't even know, saying, I've got to share this gift with you because it is so wonderful. It fills me up so much. I can't hold it all. Will you share it with me?
Well, what's important, I think, about you pointing out this story in particular is that the other thing that happened for me when I started to study gratitude and really practice it is that I began to understand that it's half of an experience, which is it's like the in-breath. It's noticing what we have. But once we do that, we're full. We have and from that fullness, we want to breathe out, which is generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So generosity and gratitude are really the in-breath and the out-breath of our spirit, that we're meant to notice the fullness in our lives, and from that fullness want to give back. And in fact, studies show that people who are more grateful are more generous, because they recognize what they have and they want to share that with others, and whether that's sharing money or, in this case, sharing a field of flowers. We naturally, spontaneously want to offer from that fullness. When we don't practice gratitude and we just try to practice generosity, we can get, like, hyperventilating because
mm-hmm.
we don't get filled back up.
And
it's really meant to go in and out naturally as a cycle.
I think that there is that side. Whenever I've met individuals that are like a Silas Marner, where they want to hoard everything and they say, well, what's the purpose? I can't be bothered with this nonsense. They shrivel up inside, and I watch them literally dehydrate emotionally, mentally, physically. They have problems. They have emptiness in their lives. And I just want to say, come along. This doesn't have to be. You don't have to be a shell of what you are as a person. Nobody's going to steal anything from you. You're going to be all right. Make it okay to hydrate yourself with these wonderful, wonderful aspects of joy and being grateful. And it can start just with having your scrambled eggs in the morning or your oatmeal and saying, thank God I've got food on the table. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. That's, I think, where a lot of people get off track. They think it has to be something super spectacular. They have to wait for something to come to them.
Right. No, no, no. In fact, one day I got an email from a guy who said he had a nonprofit and he wanted to give away my books on gratitude as a thank you gift when people donated, and so I donated some copies for him, and then I forgot all about it. And a couple months later, I get in the mail this package. And when I open the package, it contains a stone and a letter, and the letter was from this guy. And it was about his foundation, his nonprofit, which was, at least in California, I don't know if this is true in other places, when a kid is in the foster system, the very day they turn 18, the very moment they turn 18, they're let loose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, have no help at all. So he wanted to start this foundation out of money that he made as a realtor back when the realty market was really hot, to help people, kids, get this transition money. Because literally, you just turned out on the streets. So he while he, when he was going about doing this, he met this young girl who was named Lauren, and he named his nonprofit after her because she had been in 10 placements in her life.
Oh, my.
She had been in 10 different homes. She was about to turn 18. Every single thing she owned fit into one black plastic trash bag.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the happiest person he had ever met.
Wow.
And he asked her how come she was so joyful, even though she had an incredibly challenging family situation and that she didn't own anything and that she was about to be kicked out onto the streets. And she said it was because for a time she lived with Mama Jean. And Mama Jean had taught her that what you do is you count your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And that in order to teach her this, she had given her a stone to put in her pocket. And she said, throughout the day, whenever you put your hand in your pocket and you feel it, you have to think of one thing that you're grateful for right then.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been doing that now for 10 years. And that was why she was so happy.
I think that is so significant. I loved your section on perfectionism. I thought that was so cool because I've been guilty of this myself. And how you learned how to get through that and realize that the world isn't perfect and perfectionism is something you may want to reach for.
Yeah, I think perfectionism is one of the things that stands in our way of being grateful. And when we practice gratitude, what we recognize is that even though things aren't perfect, even though if I'm not perfect, my wife's not perfect, the world's imperfect, it's okay. We're okay as we are. We can enjoy ourselves and our lives and appreciate them, which is, of course, what gratitude is the practice of appreciation. As flawed as we are and as our lives are and as the people who we love are, we can still enjoy and appreciate it. And that's really, I think, a wonderful way of getting over perfectionism is through the practice of gratitude.
MJ, you tell a very touching story in the book about your adopted daughter, Anna. And I thought that was so meaningful because you experienced many, many joyful moments with her just in observing her. And here is a little girl that you had adopted from China. She had been neglected for well over a year when you were able to bring her home. And she had been covered with second-degree burns on her buttocks from lying in urine. And you said, here was this beautiful child, and she wasn't worrying about where future bottles might come from. She had been abandoned on a Christmas Eve on a cold street until somebody heard her newborn cry. And she literally was in a state of starvation when you got her.
Yes.
And you just watched her. And she was totally absorbed in the moment of whatever she was doing. Aren't children wonderful that way?
Absolutely. They really do know how to be right there appreciating. She wasn't worrying. So when I watched her, I remember she turned 11 on Christmas this year. So that was a story from a while ago. But I used to watch her drink her bottle, and she was just completely and totally happy.
Mm-hmm.
And grateful for the experience and not worrying about where the next one was going to come from or would they be there forever. It was just like it was here now, and boy, was it good. And I thought, you know, that's what we need to learn from little kids. I also remember the first time I took her to the zoo. Where, you know, I'm pushing her around in the stroller, and she saw this giant gray thing, an elephant, and she almost jumped out of her stroller. She was pointing and jumping. It was like, wow, what an amazing thing. Guess what? An elephant is an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
And but we adults get jaded. And so part of the practice of gratitude is really looking at the world with childlike eyes and say, it is amazing that I have a roof over my head. It is wonderful that there's such a thing as red, that I get to look at the color red. Isn't that an amazing color? It's so vibrant, it makes you feel so good, like that.
I think it's amazing when you just take time to look at what's around you. I was out walking my Scottish Terriers this morning, and here living in the Pacific Northwest, of course, we get rain frequently, and we've been getting a bit of a deluge recently, but it wasn't raining at the time, and as I walked under some trees, I can recall this morning looking at the bay and seeing these exquisite drops of water that were dangling ever so delicately from the ends of needles on this particular tree.
Yes.
And you looked into this water, and you could see a mirror image of everything that was around.
Oh, how fabulous.
And I thought, isn't this exquisite? We have got thousands and thousands, literally millions, of these little droplets that are clinging to things. Each and every one of them have this wonderful picture inside of them of whatever is in the environment, good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what an incredible sight to be able to see.
Absolutely.
And that's being in the moment. My Scottish terriers teach me that every day. I've got a little Scotty. My goodness, if she had any more joy in her when she got ready to go for a walk, she would probably just bust her little button. And I think children and animals and nature and so much of what is around us, if we can accept it as being there in that moment, what a rich human being we are.
Absolutely.
I also like something you had in here by Albert Schweitzer. He's quoted him saying, at times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us.
Mm.
And that's sort of coming full circle with what we started out with. How when we have an attitude of gratitude, when we are appreciative of what we are kinder. And there are going to be those people, I know I've had the moments, I know you've had the moments, when getting a thoughtful word, a kind word, a smile from another person, or from something in our environment, has enabled us to shift our thinking. It really makes a difference.
Absolutely. And the thing that's so incredible is that you don't know, really, often we don't recognize the effects we're having because we don't hear about it. So we take for granted these things. We may give a smile or we may say, I hope you're doing okay. And we don't know the profound effect that's having. But that was one of the greatest gifts of my life ever. One of the pieces of mail that I got when I got all this mail from the Random Acts of Kindness books was from a high school senior. And he wrote to me and he said that he had gotten the book as a graduation present the day before and that he had been going to kill himself. But he read this book about people being kind to one another and he thought maybe that life was worth living after all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I recognize that every single thing we do, everything we do has consequences that ripple out and touch other people in ways that we absolutely don't have a clue. I didn't set out to save some kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
I set out to put a nice little book together.
That's right. But here we are talking about it and it's reaching, well, the minds of many, 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 many people around the world, in fact. And my guest today has been MJ Ryan, giving thanks the gifts of gratitude. MJ, what is your website?
It's mj-ryan.com. And I invite people there. I've got lots of other tips. And people who are looking to create a New Year's resolution, I've got some things for you, too.
Well, that is fabulous. MJ,
thank you for having me on.
You are welcome, MJ. This is Donna Siebel. Now, before we go, MJ, I'd like to ask you, as we're closing out our conversation for today about gratitude, is there a special thought you'd like to share with my audience?
I guess I just want to encourage people that the magic of gratitude only works when you do it. And so, and it can be very simple. You don't have to do a journal. You don't have to. All you need to do is find a way to say to yourself at the end of the day, what do I really enjoy and what do I appreciate today?
Oh, that's a great way to do it. I like that. You don't have to write anything down. You don't have to do anything but just be in the moment of appreciation.
Yep.
Giving thanks, the gifts of gratitude. The book is beautiful. The photos in it are exquisite. And the stories and the different components of thought. You could keep this, as I said in the beginning, by your bedside. And just read something before you go to sleep at night. Or maybe you'd want to have it in the morning. Well, you just take a page or two at a time. Maybe you want to read through the whole thing. But if nothing else, remember, nourish yourself. Because when you can be grateful, you don't know who else is going to come and sit at your table of life and want to have a bit of the nourishment you have to share for their life. Giving thanks. The gifts of gratitude. MJ Ryan, again, has been my guest. We're taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be right back.
And-
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome, welcome. Telephone lines are open. And if you would like to start off your new year with a little bit of intuitive insight, hey, give me a buzz. I'd be delighted to chat with you. Telephone numbers here are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener, welcome. I'm so delighted you're able to join the Donna Sebo listening family and also the BBSRadio.com family. And just know that the shows are archived. If you miss one, just know we're going to be able to play it again for you at your convenience. Also, I've got my newsletter out, and for those of you that might be interested in my itinerary where I'm going to be appearing, I'm going to be sort of at home. Yes, yes, I've got meetings and other things during the month of January, but, oh, February and March and April are going to be busy times. So if you want to find out where I'm going to be, then just go ahead and check in on my website. The calendar should be posted sometime today by my webmaster. Of course, yesterday was a holiday, so everybody took that time off, but it will be up this week, so you'll be able to see it. And if you'd like to get a newsletter directly, all you need to do is send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Donna at DelphiInternational.com, and I'll be glad to add you to the email. And all you need to do is say, add me to your subscriber list. Put that in the subject header, and I'll do it. That's all I need to do. I wanted to share some information with you. You know, here we've been starting off the show with MJ Ryan and all talking about gratitude and what a difference it makes. I thought I'd start up with another story about the Girl Scouts. And I was a Girl Scout at one time, and it was mentioned frequently when I was a part of the Girl Scouts that being thoughtful and being kind with people was very, very important. And there is a story by Pat Allen of Larchmark, New York, that I thought really just fit in beautifully with what we started the show off with today. And she said there were Girl Scouts in a nearby town where she lives that were delivering thank you bags to vets in their community on Veterans Day. And the scouts in her community heard about what these girls were doing and said, you know what, I think we'd like to do it too. Well, as it turned out, when they started looking at this, they found that there were a lot more vets, military veterans, than they ever expected. However, these Girl Scouts in Larchmont decided they still wanted to do it. So this is what they did. They decorated bags with crayons and stickers and then filled them with handmade magnets, candy, and notes that read, on Veterans Day, we'd like to recognize your contributions to our country by giving you this little gift. And they also added in this bag a flyer from the Larchmont Public Library about the Veterans History Project, and that it was a great way for the vets to share their stories. Now, what happened with this? Well, these young girls learned a lot about these veterans, the service that they'd given to their country, and what was even more significant is that these veterans, who often felt that nobody cared, found that they mattered to a younger generation. I was so surprised and pleased that the girls went to the effort of remembering us. A vet named Bill Kiernan said that to the girls. And there were others that this meant a lot to. You never know what you're going to get in return. And one of the greatest things, this is about young people and veterans. And I think so frequently we underestimate our young people. We do not realize how important it is for them to be able to communicate with an older generation, to learn from that older generation what they've gone through. And I think it has been in the past too frequently easy to segregate the older individuals from the younger. And they really should not be segregated, because young people need the confidence and the understanding and the compassion of the older generation. And the older generation needs to know that what they lived can have value for the younger generation. I met a gentleman who decided that he was really going to get involved with scrapbooks for families. Now, you hear about women doing this, but it's not often you hear about a man doing it. Well, what he decided was so important for him because he had been around his dad. His dad had traveled all over the world, had been in various military conflicts, and had seen a world that this gentleman, though he was only in his 40s, was never, ever going to see. And he said he had the opportunity before his dad passed away to spend some time just talking with his dad. And when he would hear his stories, he said, I'd wish I'd had a tape recorder, or I had somebody there transcribing notes, whatever I could have had, because it's so easy to lose the meat of what they share with us. And he said his dad died all of a sudden, and he said there were so many stories my father had to tell, and we didn't record them. And today we have a lot of people that are waking up to that. And if you have a family member that is up there in years, get them to talk. Turn on a tape recorder. Now we have digital tape recorders. But hook a microphone up to them, because sometimes when people get older, their voices get a little bit fainter. Hook up a mic recorder, you know, to them, a microphone, excuse me, to them, and then just let them talk. I think of the many people that through my life, who were seniors in my life, that I valued them, I cherished them so much, because they gave me so much. And many times they gave me hope where I didn't believe I had any, during many, many periods of my life that were so very dark. So if you are one of those people that has older family members, you're close to them, if you've got them where they're in their 80s or their 90s, even if they're in their 60s, talk to them. Find out what their journey has been. Where has it taken them? What have they learned? Our world is changing so quickly that the wonderful substance of what these people have to give is so special. So coming full circle back to this wonderful group of Girl Scouts in one community that started off doing what they were doing, and the idea was shared with another group of Girl Scouts, and they said, let's do it. And they didn't say no to the challenge of having a bigger group of people to interact with. They just said, okay, so we step up to the opportunity. They brainstormed, they came up with something, and they put themselves out in that environment. It's a very good thing to do. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to experience. And for those of you that might be of the older generation, if you have knowledge, skill, and experience, don't be afraid to share it with the younger. It turns around and enriches life. You know, there's the old saying, you can't take anything with you when you leave this life of experience, excepting what you have gained in this life through knowledge and understanding. But remember, while you're here, giving it away, it's always going to come back to you a thousandfold. And as MJ said, you just never really know who you're going to have an impact on. You never know who's going to need your smile, who's going to need your insight, who's going to need that pat on the back, who's going to need to listen to your story of pain. You never know. You may help someone avoid a very difficult time. You may inspire them to reach for a goal and objective they wouldn't have believed was possible. It all depends on you. And addressing that, and by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Love works miracles. I was given some information about a woman, Susie Schwab, who was diagnosed with cancer, and animals helped to turn her life around. And she said when she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, at the time that this happened to her, something really weird and very wonderful happened. She met the man of her dreams. He asked her to marry him. Can you imagine what a shock that would be? She said, you want to marry me? I'm dying, for heaven's sakes. I got a terminal illness. Didn't make any difference. They got married. Well, she decided she was going to do some alternative treatments. The doctor told her fiancé, he said, she needs something to fight for. She needs something to believe in. If she focuses on the illness, it will do her in. It's supposed to be terminal, but it doesn't have to be. Well, her husband said, okay, her husband-to-be, said there's something that really pushes Susie's buttons. It's animals. She just loves to work with them and help them. Now, one of the things that occurred, Sylvan is Susie's husband, he started asking people, do you have a sick animal? If your animal's injured, would you bring it over? Well, by golly, what happened is Susie got totally involved in caring for these animals. She ended up getting abandoned Siamese kittens. She got Doogie, who was a blind miniature horse. She got a paralyzed fawn. She got goats, owls, peacocks, and sheep. Now, what would you have done if you had had this kind of a menagerie come into your life? Well, Susie took it all on. She said it was absolutely fabulous, and do you know her cancer totally disappeared? Totally disappeared. Now, Susie lives in Hawaii, and the Hawaiian government donated land for a sanctuary, and the East Maui Animal Refuge was born, and that was 30 years ago. And do you know Susie and Sylvan have taken in more than 400 animals? And I love the name of this place. It's the Boo Boo Zoo. The Boo Boo Zoo. Well, this couple, against all odds, achieved something that surpassed anything they could have imagined. Susie is still cancer-free, and she and Sylvan love these animals, and it's 24 hours a day that they're involved with them. Susie said their motto is, love is helping the helpless. Caring for these animals is their life. And he said, you know, it's just amazing. Now, if you would like to work with animals, and there are so many of you out there that have a passion for them, if you, instead of wanting to get a gift, let's say your birthday or something special is coming up, maybe donate some money to an animal charity. Also, go to your animal rescue site, because they'll take care of food and sending care to shelter animals every time you click. You can go to their site, the animals, animalresqsite.com. That's what you go, animalresqsite.com. Also, go for goodsearch.com, because every time you click both of those websites, will donate to your favorite cause when you use their search engine. So there are a lot of people out there. There are things that you can do. We live in an amazing world. We're going to take a break when we come back. More good things to share. Don't forget, give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Donna Seba publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Looking for an open door, pick me up and take me back to where I was when I began to dream. You gotta live for love, you gotta lap it up.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I want to let you know who's coming up this week. We're going to be talking tomorrow about kids' ethics. Bud Bottoms is going to be my guest. He has a passion for working with kids, and I think this is something that is especially significant in today's world with all of the conflicts going on. Also, Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, Dr. Petty, M.D., is going to be my guest. And then next week, all of us after the holidays, well, I shouldn't say all of us, but most of us or those of us or however you want to phrase it. Yes, our waistlines have seemingly expanded. So instead of jogging 5 miles after we have those desserts as we had during the holiday season, we have just sort of sat back and become something like couch potatoes. Well, we're going to get ourselves into shape. Judith Mopp is a lady who's got the Diet Survivor's Handbook, and we're going to be sharing a lot of fun things relative to that. Also, we're going to be talking about the Quality Life Plan with Susan Boskey, 7 Steps to Uncommon Financial Security. And then Karen Anderson, who is an animal communicator, is going to be my guest here, All Creatures. And for those of you that have young people going to college, or if you yourself are planning on going to college, what is that hook that you can use to get in? It's getting tougher and tougher to get into various colleges. this is what we're going to find out. And then everything I need to know I learned from other women. B.J. Gallagher, she's a repeat guest on my show. She's a delightful woman. We've just got such a wonderful lineup of people this month. Go into the bbsradio.com site. You'll find all of the listing of the upcoming guests. You can also find out about them on my website, DelphiInternational.com. In there, you'll know what's going to be. And if you should happen to miss a guest, hey, all you have to do is just go into the archives, and you'll be able to pick it up right away. I got this little comment, it's a story. Jim Merriam said, after weeks of medical treatment, his doctor became concerned about some redness around his waist, so he's sending to a specialist. When that doctor entered the examination room, he studied Jim's chart, then looked at him sitting in the chair. Well, Jim asked him, should I take my clothes off? The doctor said, no need to. I already see the problem. Your pants are too tight. Yes, very astute doctor. Bet you that was $150 for the hour. So is that something that you have? You know, one thing that happens with women, and women often don't realize it, when they're wearing, and it can happen with men too, with pants that are too tight, when the belts are too tight, when you've gained weight and you need to have a little bit of expansion in your waistline, if things are too tight, like if women have pantyhose that are too tight, men whose belts are too tight, you can have this pain in the lower back. And what it is, it's your kidneys. The body is rebelling. So you need to make it okay, loosen up a bit. And then if you trim off those extra pounds, then that's not going to be a problem. But remember, it can cause a lot of difficulties. It can cause indigestion, all kinds of stuff. If you have stuff that is far too tight, take a lesson from the women that used to wear corsets. My goodness, they'd pass out. Why? Because it was so tight. Those corsets were so tight, it actually caused the women not to be able to breathe. And they weren't getting enough oxygen, so they would just, they'd have the vapors, as they called it. They'd pass out. And you don't need to do that. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. So many people are traveling. My goodness, not only were we traveling through the holidays, but here we are in the winter months, and it's not unusual. You go places, people are sneezing. When you're traveling, you're in a plane, you are in a very tightly contained environment. And I can remember when I was traveling a lot more frequently than I am right now, I'd find myself coming back with a sniffles, and I would, if there were a few people getting a cold, my goodness, on the plane, I'd end up getting something too. So many of you, I'm sure, that are listening have experienced something similar. Well, here are some tips where you can avoid getting sick. And do you know you're up to 113 times more likely to leave a plane with a cold than if you stayed on the ground? Why? Because you're getting all of this recycled air. And again, you're in a very tightly contained environment. Now, over 600 million people travel by plane every year, and about a quarter of that amount ended up doing it just this past holiday season. Well, what you want to do is be aware, if you take an alcohol wipe and use it on the tray table, you're going to find, and the armrest and the headrest, that alcohol kills both viruses and bacteria. And if you have one of those little packets that you can carry with you on your, in your carry-on or maybe in your purse or briefcase, you're going to be able to use it. You just wipe things as you go along. I can remember learning years ago that when you were going to public places, that if you had like a handy wipe or a wet towel, when you went to open doors, so many germs are on the door handle. And what do? Often you bring your hand up to your nose or around your mouth, and of course, or you rub your eyes, and those are the areas that a lot of viruses and various components of the different types of germs enter. We don't think about it, but that's what happens. So when you wash your hands, if you're leaving a public place and you have to open a doorknob, have a damp paper towel or something that's in your hand so that you won't have to bring all of that into your environment. Also, you can, they say, get, you know, germs from magazine because there are literally thousands of people that handle them. And you want to make sure you stay hydrated when you're traveling. It enables the mucous membranes to stay moist, and that helps to ward off germs. And they said when the EPA tested water on more than 300 planes, 1 in 7 contained bacteria. So request bottled water. If you're going to be using water for brushing your teeth on the plane, and also use an alcohol, again, based sanitizer on your hands. And if you take a saline nasal solution with you, and this is an old-time solution, that can help you too. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the hour's gone by like the wind. Thank you for being with me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be grateful. It's a good day to be alive. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.